they've got like, it's not one note, it's like four notes.
Yeah.
But like, like four notes is great for like an hour and a half or 2 hours, but like, it's longer
than it's that. Longer than that. Yeah.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we talk about the Charlie Hebdo massacre. We talk about some really inappropriate responses to it, and we also talk about whether or not religion does more harm than good.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick, joined as always by my flu-ridden hosts, Molly Glover.
Hello.
And Nick Glover.
I don't have the flu.
I have all the flu.
but you've been around the flu. You're like a carrier.
I wore a mask when I was contagious, even when I was sleeping. So actually, Nick does not have the flu. Wow. I was very kind.
I've been flu affected. indirectly flu affected for the past week.
Yeah. I hear you. All right. So we are here. We kind of came up with this topic on the fly, given what took place this week in France. We're going to talk about the Charlie Hebdo attack and some stuff that's happened in the wake of that.
Subsequent attack and subsequent kidnappings and hostage.
Yeah,
it was bad.
Yeah, all three of us have been involved in conversations on the internet about this situation. I think, I was really kind of shocked by some of the responses that I saw.
Yeah. A friend of the show, Matt Alex, when he posted, I'm really disappointed in the number of religious apologists I apparently know, you know, people who are posting like, you know, well, technically though, this isn't about the religion. The religion is a piece
Religion is a great big gigantic piece.
These are just extremists. They don't represent religion or religious people at all.
Yeah, religious people don't do this.
Like, you kind of don't get to pick who represents you or who belongs to your club though.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's the nature of religion, is like people can, you know.
And I mean, to be fair, in the wake of the initial attack, there were huge numbers of Muslim voices that came out against it, including, some folks from Hezbollah came out and said this is absolutely right. And you know, I think that's an important piece of it. It is important to say not all Muslims are terrorists.
And of course
we,
not.
We need hashtag to, not all Muslims.
Well, of course not. But most and I don't think anyone is saying that. Anyone who is saying that's a fucking idiot. But I do agree. I do firmly feel that religion provides the most people, and I don't mean the Muslim religion, I mean religion, provides the most people with the best and easiest excuse to kill other people, because they think they're doing it in the name of their God. They think it's sanctioned by their holy laws, and they think that they can do that and still go on to their eternal reward.
It's sure.
Because their God approves it.
Well, friend of the show, Carr Hagerman, said, you know, look, it's only one religion that's doing this. It's only one. I mean, you know, you can't say it's religion is to blame if it's just one group of people that's really doing this shit. And
they're from one religion.
And I don't think people are aware of the, like, currently, now, actively happening religious violence in the name of Christianity happening in Africa or in India.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like as recently as 2011, a car bombing in Oslo, Norway. I mean,
it's just that it's not necessarily happening in America, but also
Army of God.
Yeah.
Well, it's not happening as much in America. Yeah. I remember that conversation. One of the things when you talk about violence in association with Christianity, there's also things like parents who won't take their children to the hospital and let their kids die.
Yes.
You know, that's not necessarily violence, but the point is that people are dying because of a religious belief.
Absolutely.
Parents are beating their kids to death because they believe they are allowed to by God. Now, there are plenty of people who are beating kids to death just because they're assholes.
More.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right.
But then there's this whole subset of Christianity that goes out and says, it is okay for us to beat the shit out of our children.
Or it is okay to murder gay people. And maybe it's not happening in America, but that it's happening in Nigeria. It's happening in other African countries where, and that's in the name of religion. That's in the name of God.
In the name of Christianity. And specifically Christianity.
Yes. And so it frustrates me when people try to say, well, it's not about, we don't need to talk about religion because most Muslims are peaceful. It's like, I'm not criticizing Islam. I'm criticizing religion. And if that is something that you can't, I mean, if you're someone, yeah, if your faith can't handle a cartoon,
that's a real problem.
That's a real problem.
And we even had the conversation, like I was talking about whether or not maybe I wanted to have an artist come in and do drawings of Muhammad for everybody at our next vilification tennis show. And I did it just because I thought the idea of drawing Muhammad, to me, it's when a bunch of guys walk into a building and shoot people for doing something that is legal.
Mm-hmm. You want to do the thing.
My response is, I'm going to do that thing.
Yeah.
Because the more people that do that thing, the more people they have to shoot.
Did you end up drawing a picture? Because I don't know if I ever saw it.
I have not yet drawn a picture.
Nick, have you drawn a picture?
I haven't had a chance.
I drew an awesome Muhammad.
You did.
A rainbow unicorn with a tie because he's all business.
He's all business, but the horn grants wishes and his fangs too because totally, you never know when you're going to need to bite somebody.
Yeah, I have to get my drawing of Muhammad done. I'm not a very good artist, but that's not the point. Even, and there's a friend of ours who's not religious who said, you know, that he has religious friends that would be really offended, and I'm like, I get that, and at the same time, the rules of any religion don't apply to me.
Right. If your school has a dress code, you can't get mad at me that I'm wearing jeans today. Not at your school.
Right.
Like that's, yeah. I mean, like that's it's, just because you're supposed to wear a tie to work doesn't mean I have to wear a tie to my job.
Someone
like,
said, hey man, the rules of the culture and the country you're in say that you know, your bullshit rules, you can apply those to anyone who elects to be a part of your club.
Yep.
And I don't know. Not even
all Muslims believe there's anything wrong with depictions of Muhammad.
Right. I've never understood the need of people who believe in an omnipotent and all-seeing and all-knowing God to take that justice into their own hands. I feel to me, these Charlie Hebdo killings, what it says to me is that they don't trust that their God can actually mete out justice for the crimes that they thought were committed, which bothers me because it's like, if you think that drawing a picture of Muhammad is a crime so bad that it's punishable, that God, it's an affront to God, don't you think you should let God handle his business? Like, don't you think you should
is your faith that
that you need to punish him?
Omnipotent and universally powerful God
you need to shoot them in this world.
That God is somehow taken down a peg by a picture.
Or not even that, but like that he can't take care of his own justice. That you need to go kill these people. That isn't, God can't take care of that.
Isn't an eternity of hell enough?
Right? Yeah.
But that's a piece of most of these religions. I mean, remember going to Grace Church and they were talking about evangelizing and there's a piece of these major religions that is all about taking God's word into your own hands and doing work for God. I mean, that's part parcel of
whatever happened to let go and let God.
But doing good works, sure. I don't understand the like, I need to go and punish abortion doctors,
to
even though people, I believe
that is
they're
the good
going
work.
To hell.
To some people, they're saving lives, Molly.
I guess.
And
that's the bizarre dichotomy there.
Yeah. I saw a comic that was a picture of like an ugly monster, like an angry dragon looking guy in a barbershop chair. And, you know, a American flag person is there with the scissors and blow dryer. An ugly monster guy is, you know, racism is who that is.
Yeah.
And it says, you know, hey, how can I, can you help me dress this up so that can you make me look like free speech? and the American flag barber person is like, ah, yep, I've got just the thing. And I feel like, well, it might be a valid complaint to say, you know, sure, maybe those Mad Magazine style comics were culturally insensitive or racist. I don't necessarily think so, but maybe let's say they were. Who the fuck cares? It's not worth shooting.
Well, yeah. And the thing is, like, we discussed this actually, I don't remember how many episodes ago, but you know, your race is not your religion, and not all Muslims are Arabs, and not all Arabs are Muslims. And so therefore criticizing Islam is not racist. Because it cannot be. If white people can be Muslim, then cannot be racist. It's not racist inherently.
It is when you have ignorant people who can't tell the difference or make that sort of differentiation.
Sure.
It just becomes a catch-all for Middle Eastern brown
people.
But
it's not inherently racist. You're right. It's not systemically racist. No. It's not unlike, you know, whereas I could see because it's not, you know, Judaism isn't something you can just join super easily. So I could see how someone could say, if you consider the Jewish people to be of a different race, which I don't think so, it's an ethnicity, but some people, I dated a guy in high school who felt that way. He felt that they were like a separate race, that it was the Jewish race. And because there was genocide against us. And so therefore
I have friends that are culturally Jewish and not religiously Jewish. Yeah.
But those cartoons, those covers, I mean, I looked at them, I translated them through Google Translate. They weren't that bad. And there were a bunch of them that included, there was one that included the Pope and a rabbi and then a, I can't remember the word for Islam, leader of
Imam.
Imam. And they were all like with their arms around each other, united, saying the same thing. And it was like, we hate Charlie Hebdo, or like down with Charlie Hebdo. And it's like the one thing that we can agree on.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, to me, they make fun of everything.
All those Catholics went out and murdered all those people afterwards.
Exactly. You know? Yeah, they made fun of the Pope. They made fun of the president. They made fun of everything.
They make fun of a lot. And that's the thing about Charlie Hebdo is they make fun of everything. And
Viltan. I mean, that's like our philosophy too.
In the wake of the massacre, one thing that happened that I thought was very interesting, Bill Donahue, who's the head of the Catholic League, wrote this editorial, which was absolutely awful and offensive, in which he blames the victims. He says basically that the editor, he called it the publisher, but it was actually an editor, but it doesn't matter. You know, one of the people killed, he's like, it's a shame. He literally says it's a shame he didn't see the responsibility he held for his own death.
That is literal victim blaming.
It is literally victim blaming. And the funny thing, I mean, even though he opens, it's the classic, I'm sorry, but apology.
Oh, yeah.
And then he opens and he says,
I'm sorry you feel that
way. There's never an excuse for violence, but we really should understand.
I'm sorry he caused this to happen.
We really should understand why these Muslims are so upset. And what he wants to do is start this dialogue around free speech and say that you know, free speech is all well and good, but it can be abused. And Charlie Hebdo was abusing free speech. And so while we don't condone the violence, we understand how it happened. There's this great, and I listened to it yesterday, there was this great thing where a conservative radio host, just brought the hammer down on Bill Donahue. And I'm going to have to link to it in the show notes, because I think it's really important, you know, to recognize that, you know, there's this one voice, this one Catholic voice, and he's a lone Catholic voice that's saying really stupid. And I mean, he doubled down on it. He did editorials the next couple of days where he's like, why aren't we talking about why people should or shouldn't be making these horrible drawings of the Pope or nuns masturbating or whatever they were doing in Charlie Hebdo?
Yeah, because nuns don't masturbate. Okay.
Yeah, that never happens. I'm sure that nuns are completely asexual, all of them. Every single one of them. And so there's this way that people are taking these attacks and making them about, well, what Charlie Hebdo was doing was wrong. And I simply can't agree with that. What they were doing was absolutely right. They were afflicting the comforted.
Yes.
Afflicting the comfortable.
Well, and even, the idea that the idea that someone could, like, the idea that someone who was super pro, like, let's say someone who was, like, a really pro-Obama supporter,
yeah,
like, decided to go to Saturday Night Live and shoot 6 or 7 members of the cast who were, because they were doing a sketch that made Obama not look like a great president.
Right.
Because they did a sketch like taking him down a peg or something, yeah, and killed them for that is nuts. And so for some reason, when we link it to patriotism, when we link it to something like that, it's easy for people to say, well, that's crazy. That's crazy. But when you link it to religion, everyone suddenly is, well, not everyone, but a lot of people are suddenly like, oh, but I understand because that's your faith. That's really important to you. And it's like, mm-hmm, no. No. I mean, no, it's not, it's the same. It's a system. It's an organizational system. It's a, what's the word I'm thinking of? Institution. The presidency is an institution. You know, your religion, sure, is an institution. Like you're, yeah, you're, so you can't say that those aren't analogy. Oh my God. Yeah. I had someone said, tried to make an analogy that was like, I don't think that Charlie Hebdo, blah, 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 is good because just like, I don't think that you should go and, you know, kill Catholic priests, you know, something about Catholic priests molesting kids. And it's like, but like,
it's not a good analogy.
Because like Catholic priests don't molest kids because like that's against, I don't know. It's
Catholic priests are using a lot of bad Catholic analogies. Priests are using a position of power. Well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there were a lot of people were trying to make analogies all around and not understanding that.
It's, yeah. What I heard was, you don't understand, there's a lot of right-wing, conservative, anti-Muslim shit happening in France.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, yeah.
And it's very different there than it is here.
Persecution.
It is, right. They are the low there. They are the minority,
the butt of every,
that has
joke,
laws waged against them in their garb and stuff like that.
They also made it so you can't wear crosses. I mean, they made it so, yep, you can't wear any religious, nope, articles of clothing in France.
They say that this type of freedom of speech isn't good because, sure, it's freedom of speech, but, you know, it comes with responsibility. And he wasn't bringing down some fundamentalist.
He was
punching at these people who are not privileged in France. But no matter what your argument is, no matter what your criticism of the cartoonists,
mm-hmm,
are, it doesn't mean that a bunch of people should be shot up.
No, and that's why I get so frustrated at all the people saying like, well, but I mean, we understand why it happened, like yeah, Bill Donahue, or even people I know who are like, well, but they probably shouldn't have done that. I mean, their offices got firebombed in 2011. Did they not take that as a hint? It's like, no.
Of course they fucking took it as a hint.
They did, and in fact, they posted a picture of the Charlie Hebdo editor making out with Muhammad on the front cover, and there's a great photo of that dude holding up that cover with the firebombed offices behind him,
yeah,
because,
yeah,
that's what they put out the next week.
They like, absolutely, they knew what they were doing. They, yep, knew that they were creating, making themselves a target, and they did it anyway because, yep, they felt that they had a right, yep, to do that.
You know,
they absolutely did.
Not just suicide bombers are martyrs, by the way. You know, some people are martyrs become martyrs for other reasons because they knew if they ever died that it would be martyred for the cause. I mean, they knew that would happen.
I think the people murdered at the Charlie Hebdo offices are martyrs in the, yeah, sense that they were martyrs for free speech. They were martyrs for the fact that, you know, what Bill Donahue said, he said it was the height of, he called him arrogant, the publisher,
yeah, sure,
arrogant for saying, you know, I don't have to feel bad about doing a satirical drawing of Muhammad because I'm not a Muslim, mm-hmm, which is absolutely true. Mm-hmm. As a Muslim, we are not bound to their laws.
Yeah.
And as a Muslim, you should understand that,
yeah,
that I, as a non-Muslim, can draw Muhammad.
Yeah.
It's okay because I'm not bound to your rules.
Yeah.
And
even if you think I am, shouldn't your God be taking care of that punishment? Shouldn't,
yeah,
your God be the one determining the justice factor of that and whether or not that needs to...
It's fascinating the dialogue that's going, yeah, on right now. Another conversation that I had last week, which baffled me that I was even having it, was when – and it happened right before this attack, which is what makes it even more amazing, is Somebody talked about the some of the Black Lives Matters protests that they didn't agree with.
Right.
Yeah, and they referred to the people that were doing them as terrorists. And I'm like, you even understand the definition of terrorism?
It's just a word.
And they're like, well, they're doing things that are meant to scare people. I'm like, no, going into a restaurant and shouting Black Lives Matter and making white people uncomfortable while they're eating is not the same thing as cutting off somebody's head on the internet.
Or bombing a bus or a school.
Just yesterday, before we recorded this podcast, in Nigeria, the Islamist group there, Boko Haram, sent a 10-year-old girl into a marketplace with a bomb strapped to her and killed
2,000 people.
Yeah, and killed 20 people.
2,000 people are this morning they said they think 2,000 people are dead in another massacre. Like an entire village.
Yeah, that was the – but I mean, I'm talking terrorism. They sent a 10-year-old girl who probably – she wasn't – she didn't think that what they were doing
was
okay.
I'm sure she's one of the ones that was killed.
She might not have been aware of what was happening.
Yeah, and that's terrorism. And to equate a bunch of people shouting Black Lives Matter in a restaurant with sending a 10-year-old girl into a marketplace and blowing her up – it's not the same thing.
How first world complaint is that? If that's terrorism to you, you need to check your perspective.
And what happened to Charlie Hebdo? That was terrorism as well. Yeah, and that,
you know, a few years ago, The Onion posted a picture in an article that was "No one murdered because of this image."
I know
is the headline, and they described the picture as. The Hebrew prophet Moses high-fiving Jesus as both are having their erect penises vigorously masturbated by Ganesha, while the Hindu deity anally penetrates Buddha with his fist.
Yes.
Not a single bomb threat was made against the organization responsible, nor did the person who created the cartoon go home fearing for his life in any way.
Yeah,
exactly.
I don't know. I don't know. There's probably a lot more to say, but we should probably move on to 10 questions. Sorry, it's been such 10. A downer. 5. I don't know. I don't know.
I've only got 5. If you want 10, I guess I could pull up 10 different.
I'm all
podcast.
I'm all filled with liberal atheist rage. Yeah. I guess.
I will say we talked a lot about the Charlie Hebdo journalist being murdered, but also it's important to note that 2 police officers were also killed, and a bystander, and 4 hostages.
Yes.
And those people didn't do fucking anything. Didn't do fucking anything to be considered killed by this.
Like, one of the police officers...
No one can justify that to me or
apologize. One of the police officers killed was a Muslim.
Yeah.
It's like... Yep.
That's okay, Tim. He's in heaven.
Right, sure.
So...
When you add all that in, it's like, even when you talk about why they did this and there's no reason for it and you can't excuse it, even if you try to excuse that little bit of it.
Tell me why they should have killed those cops. Tell me why how is that fair?
There's nothing about what they did that was acceptable.
Yeah.
And what they did was motivated by religion.
Absolutely.
Religion pushed them to do it.
Yep. They would have done it without it.
Yeah. So, hey, 5 questions.
We have 5 answers from Jess Thompson. She says she's in our base answering our questions and that we probably know the asshole she's married to, friend of the show, Eric Thompson.
Funny Eric.
Yeah. So that's great.
All right.
Jess, question number 1, what's the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days?
I rewatched Blade Runner, the final cut, so I didn't have to say Mockingjay, which I thought was so-so. I don't watch a whole lot of movies, but I have watched Blade Runner over and over, and I consider it my favorite. I love the whole noir sci-fi look, the moral questions it raises, the ambiguous ending, and of course, the young Harrison Ford. I remain nervous but open-minded about the planned sequel.
Yeah.
I'm not open-minded about it.
I am less open-minded about the sequel after having seen Prometheus.
True story. I played the Blade Runner video game before I ever saw the movie, and the video game is basically just like you are Deckard going through the movie like scenes.
Yeah.
So then when I saw the movie, I was like, "Hey, I know this movie."
What do you guys prefer, director's cut or? I mean, I haven't watched the final cut. I have it, but I haven't watched it yet.
Which one's the one with all the whispering voiceovery stuff?
That's the original release.
All right, I like the one that doesn't have that.
Yeah. I like the original release better.
I do too.
I don't remember
because I don't feel that like being less vague or more vague about the ending, like, it doesn't deter from my enjoyment of the movie at all. And I like the noirish aspect of an over of a voiceover.
Yeah, yeah. Which one did we watch at your house when you were doing movie night still?
It was probably the original cut, then that's the one I prefer.
Okay, then that's the one I like. The one that we watched at your house, I remember being like, this is the better version than the last time I watched this and it was too long. So maybe
it's a fairly unpopular opinion. Yeah. But I like the voiceover because I think it accentuates the noir
aspect. I'm getting it confused with Dune with the whispering. I'm sorry.
Dune has a lot of whispers.
Dune has the thought whispers. Yeah. I meant the voiceover. No, I like that. You're right. That is the more noir.
But I haven't watched the final cut, although it probably doesn't have the voiceover because I know that Ridley Scott really hated the voiceover. But
yeah.
Anyway, so
question number two. Who is your favorite atheist character?
Morrigan from the Dragon Age video game series. In the first game, there is a delightful exchange between her and Lilana, who is basically a nun, about the Maker, the god of the monotheistic religion in this world. Morrigan is a mage who believes in magic because she can touch it and command it, but she doesn't believe in the Maker because there is no evidence for his existence. The way she talks makes it sound like she would believe if there was evidence, but she has no use for faith or false comforts. I like to use one of her quotes in real life when debating fools. Here's an out-of-context paraphrased version. The fact that wonderful things exist does not presuppose an intelligent design by some absentee father figure. And then we have a link to the entire dialogue exchange we can put in the show notes.
Yeah, we should do that because that
Dragon Age
is a good answer. Dragon Age, awesome. Yeah. Question number three, what is your geekiest hobby?
I really enjoy world building, be it for novels or D&D. I've drawn a number of maps for my worlds with full color and shading in Photoshop. I come up with cultures, languages, religions, etc. That's all great, but my favorite aspect of building worlds is inventing ways for my made-up people to insult each other. I put way too much thought into this. Currently, my favorite swear word in one of my made-up languages is gakrasha, which literally means ass shame. It's used to imply that someone drinks so much they will piss and shit themselves. While Tolkien and Robert Jordan used their languages for names and cultural flavor, I use mine to make shit and dick jokes because I like to keep it classy.
I read a great quote the other day about Tolkien, and it's like, keep in mind, like, for the master linguist that Tolkien was, and like the magnificent world builder and all that, like, the place where they go to get rid of the super weapon is called Mountain Doom.
Yeah, so, Mountain Doom.
For how like rich and full of languages his worlds are, it's Mountain Doom.
Yeah.
I just ass shame. I want to use that in my
Dakrasha.
Dakrasha. I would be fine with just using the English translation.
Yeah, Matt
Alex has Dakrasha.
Question number four: what is your favorite sandwich?
The Italian beef sandwich from Portillo's, a restaurant chain in Illinois. Chicago-style Italian beef is a very simple affair. Adding extra shit to it will fuck it up, so you've got to keep it simple. French bread, a metric fuck ton of sliced beef, and a few sweet peppers. That's it. Then you dip the whole goddamn thing in fucking gravy. Yes, drown that thing until it's soggy. It melts in your mouth. It tastes so good you don't need a heaven to exist because it's already in your mouth. It's embarrassing how fast I can put one of those away. Good thing they don't have a Portillo's in Minnesota yet.
Wow.
Gravy makes everything better.
Gravy does make everything better.
Yeah. Really good. So. I love a good my favorite sandwich growing up was a French dip. Mm. A French dip and a patty melt. I ate those. The French dip with the au jus. The first time I had that, I was like, it makes the bread better. It makes the meat better. It makes it all better. Like, I was just, like, craving it in my belly.
They don't even need to be more specific than the juice.
The juice.
I love how we say with au jus, even though means with. So what we're saying is with juice.
With juice.
Yes. I love that, with juice. Oh, it's so good. All right, question number five. What's the stupidest thing anybody's ever said to you about your atheism or agnosticism?
I ended up coming out as an atheist to many of my family members at my grandmother's funeral. I was grieving, and I could not suffer any additional bullshit following the proselytizing clusterfuck that was the eulogy.
Mm.
In a conversation with my dad, my aunt, and my cousin, I straight up said, I don't believe grandma is in heaven. She's just dead, and I'm really fucking bummed about it. My cousin, without missing a beat, told me that I would come back to the church once I had kids because all parents want their kids to learn morality. It was a double whammy because I'm also child-free. This woman who barely knew me was making some major assumptions about me and my life. I was so upset, I think I just walked away without even saying anything back. I lost my ability to even.
Wow.
This may actually qualify as the dumbest thing anyone's ever said to me, period.
Yeah, that's awful.
No, I sympathize with that.
That's like a handful of like shitty assumptions, all right. Made in one swift motion.
Yeah, just one full sentence.
Broad strokes of the brush.
I have the last two funerals that we were at, the proselytizing clusterfuck eulogy is a very good way to put it, because it was like, I just am tired of this person who didn't know the deceased, who is admitting they didn't know the deceased, talking a lot about religion and faith in comfort and all that, when the person who died didn't have much, you know, for it. And just, yeah,
comforted that they're in a better place. Well, how do you know that? How do you know that they did whatever is required in your belief system? Well,
Victor's mom's.
Maybe you can be comforted. Yeah. I cannot. Please
Victor's
don't.
Victor's mom's funeral, the guy went on and on about how, like, this world is basically, I mean, the takeaway was, this world is garbage. It's misery and pain. This world is an unending torment that we just have to get through so that we can then be in heaven where everything is as it should be in the arms of Jesus.
Yeah.
And it was like, fuck this guy. Like, I just, yeah. Fuck this guy.
Well, and as a parent, how insulting to right. I mean, you guys have the choice not to have kids, and completely valid. I have the choice to have kids, and that's also valid. It's like, number one, fuck you for assuming somebody's going to have kids. Mm-hmm, number two, fuck you for assuming that having kids is what's going to make you go, oh, I need to figure out how to instill morality in them, and the only choice is religion.
Yeah, fuck you three times for thinking that religion is the way that my kids will be more moral. Yeah, which is like basically a backhanded insult of, oh, I'm a godless hussy now. Yeah, fuck you. Yeah. thanks, Jess. All right, we agree with your questions.
Yeah, so if you have any commentary about the Charlie Hebdo massacres, we'd love to hear about that in the comments section on our website. Feel free to send us something there, or we can or chat with us about it on Facebook. We'd love
draw
to hear
Muhammad.
A drawing of Muhammad. Send us. We will happily post drawings of Muhammad.
Also, cats on religious texts.
Cats on religious texts. I did post a picture of one of my cats on a Bible.
If you want to draw Muhammad and then have your cat lay on it, that'd be good too.
That's a twofer.
Yeah, I mean, we'll accept other animals. We want to point out, you know, rats, ferrets, dogs, whatever. Yeah. Yeah, whatever you got.
Sure.
Birds.
Barracudas.
We don't have
foxes.
Any religious texts in our house for the cats to be on, but it'd be a very simple process to get them to lay on it. All we have to do is...
Ooh, I have that. It's too bad I don't still have the ferret, because I have that Bible you hollowed out. We could have put her in the hole.
Oh, right.
Or chick tracks. That counts.
Oh, we've got that.
So
we've got a nice little collection of... religious pamphlets.
Awesome.
So, yeah, thanks for listening. We stand with Charlie.
Yeah.
Word.
For the record, you can draw whatever messed up picture of Carl Sagan you want. Atheists don't care.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
You go to pray to God, but instead you get me.